I don't know how many of you remember, but we had a spring, a Good Friday, an Easter like no other this past year. And that song is bringing back memories to me of Good Friday service and literally being on my knee here in the sanctuary singing that song as a part of that service. Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Now, there are a lot of issues in the world, I suppose, that people could say that they cause us to tremble, cause us to be worried. Politics, pandemic, the Astros pitching. But what's our biggest problem? Our biggest problem, I think, you know, the world tries to figure that out, and some people are going to say it's, you know, it's this, it's that, it's, you know, there are all kinds of things that seem to be wrong, and if we could just have some education, maybe we could solve them. But I think back to the golf instructor who was trying to help me once. And that golf instructor said, "Well, Jerry, you've got about 16 things wrong with the way you're trying to hit a golf ball. And I think if I can fix this one, it'll actually take care of about 10 of them." It's interesting. One problem more at the root that could impact all of the others. And I just, I ask us to think about that ourselves. What's one problem that's at the root? Climate change is a problem, but it's not the problem, not the root. Politics is a problem, but it's not the problem. Poverty, it's not the root problem. Whatever it might be, I'd suggest this. Jesus gave this answer, not to Joseph of Arimathea, but to the other of the Pharisees who believed him. He told Nicodemus that people love darkness more than they love light. That's the verdict. The light has come into the world, but people love darkness more. The evening news won't say it. The educators in our universities or high schools won't say it. But I want to suggest to you our real root problem, the one that if it can get solved, impacts every other problem. Our real root problem is sin. The love of darkness more than light. Contrast that with Jesus himself by asking the question, well, what did Jesus love? If people love darkness more than light, if we're drawn to that and tempted by it over and over again, what did he love? What was he drawn to? And John 13 and the rest of the Gospels try to answer that question for us as we face this amazing story. John 13, 1 tells us that having known that his time has come, he had loved his own that were in the world. He was come from the Father. He was returning to the Father. So now having loved his own who were in the world, he showed them the full extent or the full measure of his love. It started by washing their feet, and it would continue all the way until he had washed our sins away on the cross. What Jesus loved most was not darkness. And it wasn't just staying safe in heaven where he could have certainly stayed. What Jesus loved most was you and me and this hurting world, so infected by sin, so much worse than any pandemic that we're experiencing that's only taken 215,000 lives. I can't believe I just said only taken 215,000 lives. I wish I could take that back. But what I mean is, by comparison, the impact of sin, which has a 100% mortality rate, is even worse than what we think of as, and what is this tragedy? The great tragedy of sin is that Jesus was the only solution. Companies are racing right now trying to figure out a pandemic vaccine, and we hope they find it. But Jesus was the only vaccine. He was the only solution. You and I could not work our way out of our sin. We could not somehow pray our way out of our love of darkness. It took Jesus coming to be that solution, and it was not easy. Notice in Matthew 26, verse 38, one of our readings in this week in the story, Jesus tries to bring his small little circle of best friends and closest disciples together to him and says, my soul is overwhelmed. Overwhelmed even with sorrow to the point of death. It is so difficult for him to face and do this task that he was going to do. You heard in the gospel reading that teachers of the law, the soldiers, even one of the thieves hanging with Jesus mocked him. The phrase that they all seem to use is, save yourself. Or as the thief says, save yourself and us. You know, it'd be really nice if you would do that. Save yourself if you're really king of the Jews. They mocked him. But I ask us to think this morning, there was no way he could save himself and us. He had to choose. He could choose to remain in heaven's holiness and with the worship and adoration of angels for all eternity. Or he could choose to come down and become one of us and die for all of us. But he couldn't do both. And so Jesus made the choice of love, that instead of choosing to save himself, Jesus chose to save you, chose to save us all. He chose to do that. He chose to display that God's holy love can not only wash dirty disciples' feet, but can wash away the sin from our minds and our hearts, from our consciences, from all of life. Jesus chose to save you and to help us as he, with his holy love, faced our unholy sin. 1 Peter chapter 2 tries to put it this way and show us what the cross is really all about. He himself bore our sins. Another scripture tries to say it in 2 Corinthians 5 that God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. It's as if God sent a divine vacuum cleaner to pull the sin and the guilt from every single soul, every lie, every murder, every betrayal out of all of us, and then to put all that dust and grime and mud on his son. What the cross really shows us is that the holiness of God means something. And the cross, I think, first of all, shows us the seriousness of sin. If it takes this much suffering, if it takes this much pain, 6 hours on a cross, a moment in time that God had planned for before he ever even created the world and arranged for the sun not to shine by eclipse or whatever means he chose, as his way of saying, this is such a sad and overwhelming day because sin has been so sad and overwhelming and has cost the lives of millions and billions. Romans chapter 6 tells us that the wages of sin, what you and I earn by our little white lies and our little white stretching and all those other ways that we try to rationalize sin or manage our sin, the wages that we earn for that is death 100% of the time to 100% of the people. It's so serious that Jesus alone qualified to be the substitute to do this. The cross actually really shows us something else that we have to realize, the holiness of God. If God was not holy, if he just didn't care about sin, that would mean he would leave all of us stuck in our own slime and devices, leave all of us exposed to all the sinfulness and love of darkness that everyone has. And if we think the world is tough and rough now, imagine what it would be like if he did not have that holiness, did not have that standard to try to hold us in check. Habakkuk tells us that God's eyes are too holy, too pure to look on evil. He cannot tolerate wrongdoing. He's not going to let any of the pain, any of the deception, any of the sin and death into heaven. That place is going to stay pure because of his holiness. So there has to be a way to overcome it, to wash us first, to purify us before we could ever approach his holiness. And that is where the cross also then shows us the fullness of God's love. This is love. 1 John chapter 4 tries to tell us not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. In 1979, there was a tragic plane crash outside of Detroit. And on that plane, approximately 137 people died. And one four-year-old girl walked away alive. She walked away alive because her mother had unbuckled her seat and knelt down in front of her and wrapped her in her arms and took the full impact of that crash into herself. She took the fall, if you will, literally, so her daughter could survive. And Jesus has done just that. He's taken the fall for our sins. He's absorbed all the full impact of its ugliness and its weight into himself. And even though the thought of it overwhelmed his soul, it did not stop him from this action of love, the fullness of his love, that he would do this. And so now, because of what Jesus has done, the cross gives us what we need. We have this promise from him that God does not deal with us according to our sins, nor does he repay us according to our iniquities. As Psalm 103 goes even into greater depth by saying, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God separated our sin from us. The darkest of days, the moment when sin was to be paid for, Jesus' light, his light of love, still shone through. And we can thank him for that. We can marvel and praise God for the depth of that love, to want us to experience his holiness and so to pay for our unholiness in himself. May we trust deeply and share wide what God's and his love through Christ has done for us to overcome the darkness. Amen.